didn't it? It just happened. The vast majority. It is or it isn't a majority.
And in a restaurant, can I get...
I do. I, again...
You're not American. You can't get it.
I know.
I'm not going to lie.
From the get-go.
Almost unique.
Having a meteoric rise.
They don't rise, they fall. Thank you. Thank you. I hope you've enjoyed the group's therapy session this morning. Have a great weekend.
Yeah.
Nikki's next.
BBC Radio 5 Live. Nikki Campbell. The voice of the UK.
Yeah, and it's the lived experience we always want on the nation's phone-in, as opposed to the unlived one. Thank you very much to Claire and to Chris. So, gambling and football, should we ban, he said, slapping the table. Should we ban football gambling ads? What do you think? Revealing research on the opening weekend of the Premier League, coverage in the UK across TV, including pitchside hoardings and shirt logos, radio, social media, more than 29,000 gambling messages, a 165% increase on the opening weekend a year ago. It's time to ban all gambling advertising in football forever. Go the way of tobacco. Don't you bet on it. Very important for football finances and lower leagues as well. And some might argue, hang on a minute, if you're taking Saudi money, strong arguments for and against that. I know. And that stallion has bolted. You know, basically, where are you going to stop? Where are we going with this? Football's not taking money from anyone who has got money. There are calls for Labour. Heard it on breakfast this morning. For Labour to go into hyper-nanny mode and get banning. Some say it's not difficult for them. The Premier League has agreed to take gambling companies off the front of shorts. You may remember the phone-in on that one. And that's going to happen in 2026. Shirts, I mean, obviously. Front of the shirt, back of the shirt, back of the net, bit of that. And football and betting go hand in hand. Your sport and betting go hand in hand. There are calls to break that link. And how many betting giants can your kids name? That's another one. And this is as well, it's not the flutter that my grandpa used to put on the horses to his dying day when he had 6 months with us. He'd 6 months with my aunt. That's too much information. Anyway, he used to toddle off, put a bet, and he used to study the Racing Post. You know, whatever you think, there's more science in that, but there's so many more imaginative ways to lose now. You know, the number of corners and all that stuff. It's like, you know, betting on the number of callers, names beginning with M. On this program, or the number of times I say 0808 590 9693 and text 85058, or the number of times I ask this question, should we ban football gambling ads? Good luck with this. It's 2 minutes past nine.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Call free 0808 590 9693. Text 85058. Text will be charged at your standard message rate.
Message on WhatsApp 0808 590 9693.
Visit bbc.co.uk/5liveterms for our terms of use and privacy notice.
Should we ban football gambling ads? I ask you a straight question. And here's the news from Dina Campbell.
Thank you, Nikki. Good morning. Pressure is growing on the Israeli Prime Minister to agree to a ceasefire deal with the Lebanese armed group Hezbollah. Sir Keir Starmer told the United Nations General Assembly that an escalation in fighting would only lead to more suffering. Benjamin Netanyahu says negotiations on a ceasefire deal with the Iran-backed group will continue, despite his insistence that the Israeli army maintains its offensive against them. The Prime Minister has had a two-hour dinner with Donald Trump in New York. It's the first time he's met the Republican presidential nominee. Sir Keir visited Trump Tower last night. A UK government source told the BBC they discussed the long-standing friendship between Britain and the United States and the importance of continuing to develop a strong and enduring partnership. A study has found the number of gambling adverts such as pitchside hoardings and shirt logos during the opening weekend of this season's Premier League were almost treble last year's figures. Researchers from the University of Bristol counted more than 29,000 gambling messages. The government says it's committed to strengthening protections for those at risk. Hurricane Helene is battering the American state of Florida. Officials say at least one person has been killed by a falling road sign. There are warnings of a storm surge high enough to swamp a two-story building.
BBC Radio 5 Live.
The voice of the UK.
On digital radio.
On BBC Sounds.
And ask your smart speaker
to play BBC Radio 5 Live.
Nikki Campbell.
BBC Radio 5 Live.
When the restrictions coming in 2026 were announced, token restrictions, some might say, there were 8 Premier League clubs sponsored by gambling firms. Now there are 11. Aston Villa, Bournemouth, Brentford, Crystal Palace, Everton, Fulham, Leicester, Nottingham Forest, Southampton, West Ham and Wolves will display a gambling company on the front of their shirts, all those clubs. Current sponsorship deals with gambling companies can remain in place for the next 3 years as well. And it's understood gambling brands can feature in other areas, which include shirt sleeves and on advertising hoardings beyond the 2025-2026 campaign. So, look, you know, do we need to bite this bullet? Should we ban football gambling ads altogether? What are you saying on the text? Over the last 20 years, I've become so blind to adverts and sponsorship that I don't notice it anymore. Admittedly, in that time, I've lost interest in televised sport because of the over-commercialisation and massive saturation, not to mention the cost. But if I walk through a shopping centre, I don't see a plethora of sale posters. Do adverts work at all these days? Not for anyone I know, says Alan in Bedfordshire. But it was a very good point made by one of our producers in our meeting this morning that our kids can probably name, you know, loads of these companies as well, which is quite something. And this one, the vast majority of gambling punters do so responsibly on horses and football. The problem gamblers are less than 1% of us. And it's down to casino games, slot games. The government should apply gambling tax on us all like they used to 10p in the pound. It would raise billions for the exchequer. Talk about difficult choices. Sadly, they won't and will ruin this industry by applying affordability checks. National Hunt Racing will be gone 5 to 10 years. Phil in Middlesbrough having a bet on this being read out or not. You won. Gambling companies are a disgrace without exception. If you can make money from them, they will ban you from betting or restrict you to a few pence for any bet. Interesting. Kieran Maguire, football finance expert. Good morning, Kieran. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you, Nikki.
Dr. Jamie Wheaton, Senior Research Associate at the University of Bristol, co-lead of this report looking into gambling ads in football. It's really interesting stuff, Jamie. Just talk us through some of it, if you would. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Nikki. It's great to be on. So what we were interested to find out exactly how much gambling marketing was exposed to audiences during the opening weekend of the Premier League. So what we did was we counted gambling adverts that occurred on sport during the live matches, sports news programming, sports radio and social media. And what we found was around 30,000 gambling messages, which included gambling logos on players' shirts, for example, on pitchside hoardings, during commercial adverts and social media ads by the leading brands were shown to audiences during that entire weekend. Just to give you an idea of the scale of it, during a single match, so West Ham versus Aston Villa, we found 6,500 gambling messages, which basically meant that for every hour of coverage that you watched, 30 minutes on average contained at least one gambling message. It's the second time we did this study. And last year, we also did this during the opening weekend. We found around 11,000 gambling messages last year, and we've gone up to 30,000 this year. So that means the number of gambling ads have tripled, almost trebled within a single year in comparison to the same weekend.
What's in it for the gambling companies? That sounds like a very stupid question. That's a speciality of mine. But they make a lot of they get a fillip from it, presumably, on match day.
Yeah, sure. So it's about brand awareness for the gambling companies.
Brand awareness.
And also associating themselves as a normal part of the consumption of football. And that's the whole part of, that's the reason why they do it. They spend.
That's what the tobacco companies used to say as well, exactly the same arguments.
Yeah, exactly. They spend millions of pounds a year to football clubs, and in return, they get the ability to put their brands on pitchside hoardings and front of shirts or the sleeve of shirts or even the back of shirts now, if you look at some clubs, in order to heighten that brand awareness and to associate themselves as a normal part of the consumption of football.
And there are all sorts of new-ish, weird and some might say not very wonderful ways of losing your money, aren't there? As I said in the intro.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a couple of your texters alluded to there, that the fact that there's a growth of all kinds of products, such as casino and gaming products. But even within football, there's a large amount of markets now where there's an urgency to bet in play on all kinds of ranges of markets, such as, you know, the next yellow card, when's the next throw-in going to be. So all this creates a kind of perfect storm where it encourages continued gambling behaviour.
And as I said as well, at the risk of repeating myself, if you're studying the racing post or you're listening for the race, there's an element of science in that, but this is completely different, isn't it?
Well, it's all, yes, I guess very much so. I think if you compare sports betting and horse racing to casino or gaming, for example, you're at least able to use your knowledge in order to try and get a return. Whereas if you were to play roulette, for example, you've got a 35, 36 to one chance of winning, depending on whatever number comes out. But I think what we're most concerned about is the fact that the normalisation of gambling within football, particularly for children, and, well, anyone could be at risk of gambling harms. But if I was to take my two children to their football team, or to our football team to watch a game, you know, it's always concerning because the competition in which they play is sponsored by a gambling operator. And at their early age, I don't necessarily, you know, do we really want children thinking that gambling, even at that early age, is a normal part of football, particularly when there's very little awareness of what the risks are of gambling harms from interacting with products that can be highly addictive?
But then people say it's a legitimate activity and it's what they call a discretionary expense, and it's part of British culture as well. But how important, Kieran, is it to football?
As far as clubs in the Premier League and the Championship are concerned, and also the Scottish Premiership, it is desirable but not essential, in the sense that a gambling sponsor for a front of shirt deal will probably be offering something in the region of £8 to £12 million a year for a Premier League club. Who are you going to find to replace that gambling sponsor? It's somebody that's not willing to pay as much. So if you're the commercial director of a club, you go to the highest bidder, and that tends to be the gambling industry. If the fans are moaning about not signing a new striker, or why haven't we offered this player a new contract, he's going to leave, well, the directors and the owner turns around and says, well, you can't have it both ways. You can't have us wanting to spend as much money as possible and at the same time have a sort of a moral or ethical position in relation to gambling.
Mm. Where else might the money come from comparable to the funds being put into football? What other sector?
Well, potentially it could be the crypto sector, and crypto is effectively gambling with a small G.
Oh, blimey.
And we have seen some rather unpleasant activities as far as the clubs are concerned, where crypto sponsors have come in, offered large amounts of money, and then the deals collapsed halfway through the season. We've seen that in Milan. We saw Chelsea had a problem when they had a sleeve sponsor from that sector in terms of Whalefin. If not, financial services, airlines, but you could say, well, surely there's an environmental cost if you're going to be sponsoring airlines. You've got car sales companies, again, environmental issues. So there's no such thing as a perfectly innocent sponsor.
Yeah. Well, you know, UNESCO ain't going to cut it, is it? Let's go with John in Manchester. Good morning, John. What are your thoughts?
Hello, Nicky. Yeah, thanks for having me on. Well, I go back a long way with having a small bet, and it depends on you whether you can control it or not, because the 1% that you said at your intro, that is 1% of millions of people enjoying themselves, mainly on a Saturday, because the majority of people that have a small bet is on a Saturday, and they enjoy it. So I can't understand why don't the government take the money off the bookmakers instead of putting a tax onto the lads who are putting a bet on, take the money at the top, which is quite easy. You just say, right, how many million? I mean, the girl, is it Stoke City? How much she made last year? The owner of Stoke City. I mean, it was mega, mega money. Well, if some of these people are taking the money out of the country, bring it back in and say, you know, the lads at the bottom are paying the ten pound bet on a Saturday. They're paying to go into the match, and the advertising is probably paying for a bit less that they'd have to pay to go into the match. And they're taking the enjoyment off the people. The majority of people just enjoy it, going to the races, going to a football match.
You can still have a bet, just don't
encourage that normalisation, as Jamie put it, for kids. Well, if you ask a kid, you know, a kid could probably say, you know, name some gambling companies. You could probably get a 12-year-old saying, Betfred, Bet365, William
Hill.
It's not on my shirt. No, but I'm mentioning these companies because we're discussing these companies.
Yeah, but how many people have just heard that? But, I mean, you can't stop it. You cannot stop it. I mean, I remember going when I was a kid, and you saw men going round through a little back door at a house, and there was no bookies. And they went, it was legal. It was on, you know, you couldn't have a bet. So they went the back door. And then all of a sudden, the government took it over and started taxing them. And that's how the government let the people, the companies, open the betting shops in the street. Yeah. And then they stopped the gambling on the machines, which takes more money than having a bet on a horse now.
And they stopped the tax.
These are the things that they want to regulate. But the government does it the easy way. Take it off the lads at the bottom. Take the enjoyment out of it. I mean, what can we do? What can we do to enjoy ourselves? They're taking everything away from us. A simple bet. I mean, you're going to a ground today.
Are you worried by the normalisation of it all for kids? It's just part of life.
Let me put it this way, Nicky. There's one race in the year. There's one race in the year that probably a little family and the dad's interested in horse racing, and he'll say to the lad, "Oh, do you want to bet on the national, lad?" So he looks at the paper. That could be the first start of that lad having a bet. But the majority of people that actually fall into the trap of doing it over the top, them are the people they want to worry about. That's the government that want to put money into people that, like, alcoholism. But they put the money at the bottom. How many places are open now for people who run into that trap of having too much drink? Now, what they want to do is to take the 1% and say, "We'll look after you." The rest can look after themselves, which they do. It's a simple thing. But why do you hammer it all the time? Why does a government pick on something that people are having an enjoyment out of it? The first thing they do when they walk into a football, I've done it myself, right, with my son. And he gets his, I haven't got a mobile. Go on, he gets his mobile. He said, "Come on, Dad, what we're having?" I said, "Go on, 2-1, 3-1. And that's it. So we put a couple of quid on, and it's just a bit of enjoyment watching the match.
It makes it interesting. Yeah.
Well, you can be 1-0 up, and how many matches are won in the last 10 minutes? So the excitement of actually your team winning, you've won a bet as well.
Changes the whole game. Changes how you feel about the whole game. Exactly.
Well, yeah, no, but you're enjoying the game. But at the end of it, you're losing. If it's 2 quid, you're losing 2 quid because the other fella's won.
Well, I'm saying, if you're watching, you know, if you're channel hopping, and my friend was telling me this. I don't really bet. Very occasionally, but a friend was telling me this, who likes a flutter, you're channel hopping and you come across, you know, Real Sociedad against Atletico Madrid or whatever, and you're thinking, "Oh, this is quite entertaining." And then you get the mobile out, all of a sudden it becomes, "Oh, this is really entertaining." You know, that's the thing. The adrenaline starts roaring through the veins, doesn't it? Bring Andrew in as well, and Stephen Harlow. Andrew in Greenford. Be interesting to hear what Kieran and Jamie make of all this. Yeah, go on, Andrew. Morning to you. Fire away.
Good morning to you, Nicky. Good to hear from you again. Well, yes, let's face it. We don't want to have youngsters becoming addicted to gambling. And that's what's happening. That's what's happening so much.
Do you have the facts and figures to back that up? Is it happening?
Well, I'm sure it is. I hear it all the time. I hear it from, you know, I see it, you know, if I go into a betting shop, because I've been following racing all my life, and football for that matter. But yeah, it's a very easy thing to get addicted to. And I feel that now, because it's going so far, there's two ways around this. Either one, you just eliminate it altogether, you know, at the end of the day. But two, rather than spoil the fun element of it, why not have a maximum amount that you can actually bet in any football game? So maybe like the cost of a lottery ticket. £2 maximum. You're not allowed to put anything more than, say, £2 on any bet, whether it's a single bet, a score bet, an accumulator, whatever you want to bet on. Make it a fun bet, maximum £2. Then you won't get people spending crazy money on football bets and getting addicted on it, and eventually that they suffer, their health suffers, the family life suffers, etc. That's the only solution, really.
The only solution, right? Stephen Harlow, what do you think? Morning, Steve. Welcome.
Hi, Nicky. I just think that it just sets a really bad example to kids that their football team, their heroes, are parading in sponsorship by gambling companies. That statistically and proven ruin people's lives. And it all kind of normalises that behaviour and tells kids it's fine to gamble. And I don't think that's a great example to set.
Yeah.
Are these kids gambling? Are they gambling on the phone? Because they certainly can't do it, because they've got to be 18 or older. So, I mean, kids can't do it.
Well, it's grooming them to gamble, isn't it? It's grooming them to gamble.
Like I said before, they probably have a bet on the National, which is just a bit of fun. I know people don't like the National, but that's how it does. But the majority of people that have a bet, they don't fall into the trap. But, I mean, the last gentleman
it
that
helps
was on...
to normalise
gambling.
A lottery
ticket, you could go into the next shop and buy another lottery ticket.
It's a normalisation that you're talking about, Steve. Who do you support?
Well, I support West Ham United. And it's such a great British club. But I'm ashamed that we're sponsored by a gambling club and I refuse to buy a kit with their logo on. You know, we've had failed sponsors in the past where they've gone out of business, but I just refuse to spend money on promoting a gambling company. We should ban it like we did with alcohol and like smoking. Carte blanche, ban.
Well, you're uncomfortable with the fact that you would be walking around basically as an advertising hoarding with two legs. Yeah,
that's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And it just feels very strange and very uncomfortable to normalise an industry that does ruin lives.
Kieran Maguire, what's the situation with alcohol, Kieran? Are you still there, Kieran? Have we still got Kieran Maguire? Is Kieran still there? I was just wondering about the situation with alcohol. He's gone. We've lost him. Try and get him back. Jamie Wheaton, it's comparable, isn't it?
Comparable with alcohol. I mean, I'm no expert in alcohol marketing, but I think to come back into the points which were made by previous callers, I think what I'd really want to highlight is that it's not necessarily, we're not trying to impede upon the freedoms of those to have a bet. It's about protecting audiences and giving them the freedom to choose whether or not they want to be bombarded by advertising, which is for products which can be highly addictive. And okay, well, we could talk about a minority who may be experiencing harmful gambling behaviours. It's not just them who are harmed, it's they're affected others as well, and it can really affect communities. So that's very much our focus, as opposed to kind of focusing on impeding freedoms. It's about protecting audiences.
Over the last 20 years, says this text, I've become so blind to adverts and sponsorship, don't notice them anymore. And this one, similar to another text, that this one, the gambling companies are a disgrace without exception. If you can make money from them, they will ban you from betting or restrict you to a few pence for any bet. This one, I've just come back from Florida. Lucky you. And we were talking to a taxi driver who told us all online betting in the state is illegal. It was great watching sport without being bombarded with the silly ads full of ex has been sportsmen. That's from Jeff in Manchester. This one as well. I'm a Brentford fan, and the reason I haven't bought a replica shirt is because I don't want to walk around promoting a gambling company, similar to our caller. Thankfully, they don't allow the same sponsorship on kids' shirts. And this one, Luton Town FC have made a pledge to not have a gambling firm on their shirt. Great club leading by example. That is an interesting one when it comes to Luton, what they've done. They were relegated, weren't they, last season to the Championship? And they are among 35 clubs who back the Big Step, which is an anti-football gambling advertising campaign. And yeah, go on.
Nick, it's Andrew. If I just add another crucial point here. The betting companies are very, very crafty, because what they're doing is they always offer the carrot of bet £5 here and we'll match your bet. They offer free sort of incentives to try and get people hooked into it. This is what they're doing. They know how to work it, and this is crucial. This is any person can get hooked on something, and before you know it, you know, they're racking up that the spending money on something that they shouldn't be doing, because there are more losers than winners. Everybody knows that. They might try and glamorize it, but the more you do it, the more you're going to be losing. It's as simple as that.
Jamie, just a thought. Yeah. I mean, this is far more, Jamie Wheaton, this is far more than last season. It's 165% increase, talking about the first day. Those restrictions are coming down the road, slight restrictions, far too slight, some might say, and they're going to be kicking in 2026. Why do you think it's increased so much from last season? You'd have thought it might be going in the other direction.
Well, we were anticipating some sort of increase because there's an increase of clubs being sponsored or whose shirts will feature gambling logos this year. So 11 teams this year will feature gambling sponsorship on their shirts. But we saw huge increases of gambling marketing on pitch side hoardings. We saw more on stadia structure. We did actually see more on the front of shirts as well. And we also saw more messages in so-called sponsorship lead-ins. So the kind of segments that segue between the program and the advertising breaks. So there wasn't necessarily a single reason. It just seems that the marketing is much more prevalent during the opening weekend this season, and that there seems to be much more investment into gambling marketing in the Premier League this year.
It's such an interesting piece of research. I think the Zoom crashed, and I think we've got the Zoom back. Am I right in saying that, Kieran Maguire? Are you there? Let me hear your voice.
I'm here, Nicky. Yes, sorry about that.
I was worried about you. So, Kieran, how important... Remind us about the situation with alcohol. That was a question I asked. I mean, in football, where are we with that?
Alcohol doesn't feature as far as front of shirt or side of shirt, but you do have official alcohol sponsors for clubs and competitions. So FIFA has their official beer sponsor, as does UEFA and so on. I think there is a concern that because alcohol is prohibited in some countries and the Premier League's broadcast to 197 countries around the world, the Premier League effectively doesn't want to shoot itself in the foot by
gambling's
accepting.
Prohibited in some countries as well.
Well, yes, but
the
Premier
same
League
countries that you're talking about. Yeah, it's interesting. Well, is that a double standard?
Some people would say yes. The Premier League would say no.
08085 909 693 and give us a call as well on 85058. Yeah, I was just talking about Luton there. Interesting example. Luton, Jamie Wheaton, Kieran Maguire. I don't know who wants to pick up that one. But they've taken a hit. Luton's decision to forego gambling sponsors in the Premier League cost them about $3 million last season. And they were the only Premier League or English Football League club not to show gambling adverts in their stadium at league games. That was, Kieran, that was a bold decision, some would have it.
It was, and I think you've got to give Gary Sweet and the executive team at Luton a lot of credit. I suspect that they've taken the view that given that their TV revenues increased from £8 million to around about £108 million, that they could afford to take this as a hit. Equally, I would imagine that some Luton fans would say, well, we ended up getting relegated. If we'd spent an extra £3 million on recruiting players, could that have made the difference between staying up and staying down? So I think it is commendable from a moral and ethical point of view, but football is also a business, and the business part of the club might say, well, we just cost ourselves unwarranted fees there.
But we're only going in one direction here, aren't we?
Yes, and that's because it works. If we now take a look at the nature of the research that's been undertaken, what you will find is that it tends to be what we refer to as white label gambling companies. Gambling companies are actually virtually impossible or impossible to bet on as far as the UK is concerned, because they are targeting overseas markets. And they tend themselves to be based in the Isle of Man or elsewhere offshore. You've got to ask yourself, why would a good business, a business which is looking to enhance its reputation and that of the Premier League, why would it take these steps to base itself not in the UK?
Mm. But just get back to that research again. More than 29,000 gambling messages, a 165% increase on the opening weekend last year. And I think it was mentioned as well by Jamie that West Ham's match against Aston Villa contained one every about 30 30 every minute. Let's go with Steve in Derby. Good morning, Steve. What's your contribution?
Hi, morning, Nicky. Really nice to talk to you.
You too.
I was just saying, you know, like, what do you ban next? Everything we do is about self-control. You know, if people can't control themselves, that's not my problem. Who's someone who likes to have a bet or likes to have a drink or likes to eat Mars bars? It's just ridiculous.
Is it about, I mean, there is a huge problem for some people when it comes to gambling.
Oh, it is. But Nicky, I mean, you know, life is a joy. You know, it's nice to do what we can, and surely it's about self-control. I mean, I'm a Liverpool fan. I mean, I have 3 or 4 betting apps. I put £5, £10 on. I know when to stop. If people can't, that's their issue. It sounds a bit harsh, but, I mean, it's life, it is. You know, I mean, like, what do you ban next? I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you know, people have to draw the line for themselves.
What about the normalisation for kids? Steve, you might want to come back in on this one, but Steve in Derby, first off, then t'other Steve. What about the normalisation, Steve in Derby, for kids of all this?
Yeah, but I suppose it's not a good message, but surely that's where the parents should come in and say, look, this is involved in sport. You know, we'll teach you to do it right. And, you can't control what everyone does. You know, at the end of the day, it is about self-control and choice. I mean, we all have a choice. No one's putting a gun to your head, or you must bet £1,000 on this game, or, you know, you have to stop when you've had enough.
Tobacco, sure. Alcohol, fast food, crypto.
Easier
said than done. Sorry, it's unacceptable what he's saying there. I can't understand why you think, you know, it's their problem.
Well, of course it's their problem, then, because if they're putting a bet on, no one's forcing anyone to bet. I mean,
We'll match your bet.
If someone tells you to jump off a cliff, you're not going to jump off, are you?
That's not the same comparison. This is where people have got money in their pockets, and instead of spending it on their priorities, on things which will help them health-wise, etc., they're spending it on gambling and whatever, alcohol and smoking, on things that are affecting their health and ruining their lives.
No, listen, we all have a brain. We have to action to use
I'll
it.
I'll do it. Yeah, okay.
Well, of course we do.
I'm afraid, well, you speak to people who go to Gamblers Anonymous. You speak to people who've got alcohol problems and then find out what their brain is. I'm sorry, you don't see the full picture there. Your comment is totally unjustified.
But there's also thousands of people out there that don't have a problem. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, yes, but there are those that do. You can't just say it's their problem. That's totally a selfish attitude. I'm sorry, I don't accept that at all.
Yeah, but mate, the world's very selfish. You have to do and get on as much as you can. You know, it's about the minority spoiling it for the majority. It's like in everything, it's just a bit ridiculous.
People are suffering, and they're suffering big time, and they're being encouraged to bet. You don't see, I'm sorry, you just don't get it. Your comments are totally unjustified.
No, it's not, because I learned to not get
it. It is, and obviously, if you see this advertising, you're going to want to do it. You know, it's just like the vaping problem. It's about vaping before. They're trying to encourage youngsters to vape, to make their lives suffer. You know, sorry, you don't see the bigger picture here. It's their problem. It's people like you that just brush it under the carpet and think, oh, it's their lives, I'm not bothered about it. That why people suffer in life, because they don't get, instead of getting support, you're just saying to them it's their problem.
Well, of course, but like the support's out there. Well, yeah, use the support, but don't spoil it for the people who don't have a problem.
I'm sorry, you don't get it.
Oh, I do get it.
Sadly, what I was going to say earlier on was, it's sad how football. I grew up from the '60s watching football, and it was a sport, a level playing field. There were no gambling sort of adverts involved on the football shirts, purely the numbers only, not even the players' names, and it was a level playing field. It's been spoilt by becoming a business now. The same teams dominate all the time because they got the financial backing.
There we are. There's your agenda. Steve, how do you feel about the fact, I was doing some filming in Southampton recently. I was in a part of the town where there was charity shops, and there was fast food joints, and there were two 24-hour slot machine arcades open 24 hours. And I saw a lot of people going in and a lot of people going out.
Terrible.
How do you feel about that,
Steve?
Well, there's also
people who work unsociable hours, taxi drivers, you know, people in the health service. Yeah. That might be their release. That they might want to go and have a couple of bets, have a bit of fun, have a drink. It's like a casino. I mean, where do you draw the line?
0808 599 693 8505 on the text. It's 9:34.
The voice of the UK.
And the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
And here's the news from Deanna Campbell.
Thank you, Nikki. Pressure is growing on the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to agree to a ceasefire deal with the Lebanese armed group Hezbollah. Keir Starmer told the United Nations General Assembly that an escalation in fighting would only lead to more suffering. The Treasury is reconsidering Labour's manifesto plan to further reduce the tax advantages for people with non-dom status, who claim their main home is outside the UK. BBC News understands there are concerns about how much money would be raised for public services such as the NHS if wealthy foreigners left the UK. There's been flash flooding in parts of England after another night of heavy rain. Floodwaters caused a section of the M5 near Bristol to be closed, and motorists had to be rescued from their cars. Coldplay have been named this century's most played British band. The music licensing company, PPL, uses data from radio and television and also places like restaurants and gyms. It says Coldplay's songs were played 40,000 more times than their closest rival, Queen. Nick Hatton has your sport.
Thank you. The Tottenham manager Ange Postecoglou has praised the impact of his front players as they overcame going down to 10 men early on to win their Europa League opener 3-0 at home to Karabag last night. Forwards Brennan Johnson and Dominic Solanke both amongst the goals. Rangers manager Philippe Clement hailed their best performance of the season. They were 2-0 winners away at Malmo. Manchester City and Arsenal booked their place in the group stage of the Women's Champions League. They're joined by Celtic, who become the first Scottish side to reach the group stage since its inception 4 years ago. The draw is this lunchtime. In tennis, Jack Draper's through to the third round of the Japan Open. He beat the second seed Hubert Hurkacz in straight sets. Well, women's British number one Katie Bolter has this morning beaten Taylor Townsend in straight sets in the second round of the Beijing Open. Great Britain's Olympic champion Alex Yee took victory in the penultimate race of the World Triathlon Championship Series. That's as Beth Potter finished second in the women's race in Weihai in China. And England's cricketers must win today's fourth one-day international against Australia to stay alive in the five-match series. Australia lead 2-1 after England secured a rain-impacted victory on Tuesday at Durham. There's coverage on Five Sports Extra from 12:15.
Football on BBC Radio 5 Live.
Listen to exclusive live commentaries from the Premier League, Champions League and more with the 5 Live Sport Team.
He's been on the pitch for 10 seconds. Thank you very much.
Stay on top of everything football every day with the Football Daily Podcast.
This is the best central defensive partnership in European football.
His confidence levels are through the roof.
Football on 5 Live.
Listen on BBC Sounds.
BBC Radio 5 Live.
The voice of the UK.
On digital radio.
On BBC Sounds.
And ask your smart speaker
to play BBC Radio 5 Live.
Nikki Campbell.
BBC Radio 5 Live.
If you have been doing some in-play betting on the programme, we've had two Steves on the air so far. We've had three texts from Steve, which are in the main console. And we've got a Steve coming up as well. So if you were betting on the number of Steves, you must be on tenterhooks right now. 08085 909 693 85058 on the text. Let me just tell you about what's happening in the second hour. We're going to be talking about some of the most successful gamblers in life. They've done well. They've done very well. We're talking about the non-doms and our general question, should we squeeze the rich? What is this non-domery all about? Well, there are people who live in the UK who are non-doms but have permanent residences elsewhere, so their status can shield their overseas income and profits from UK taxes. Basically, the government's you've got the government's plans to cut winter fuel payments on the one hand for millions of pensioners have been received. Have not been well received. But this is the news today. The Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, has been warned she needs to take difficult decisions on tax spending and welfare. But the thing is, when they say clamp down on the non-doms, it got the faithful very excited in Labour, squeezed the super wealthy, a bit of the squeeze them till the pips squeak agenda. And now it's in the papers today, it's in the news today, that the OBR and people in the Treasury have said, hang on a minute, this might not make us any money. And it was one of the mantras of the general election. Clamp down on the nom-doms. Yay, 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 yay. Those in the OBR and elsewhere, Office for Budget Responsibility, they're saying it might be counterproductive. The number crunchers have crunched. And they're saying that we might actually need these people. And, of course, Rachel Reeves often talks about wealth creation and says private sector investment is the lifeblood of a successful economy. So what is the best way to tax the rich? There's loads to get into there. Isn't it the right thing to do? It was in the manifesto as well. They're going to water it down. Lots of that stuff in the paper. It's practicality. It's the principle. It's the ideology. It's smashing into the brick wall of reality. How do we tax the rich and the super wealthy? It's 9:39. That's at 10.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Call free 08085 909 693. Text 85058. Text will be charged at your standard message rate.
Message on WhatsApp 08085 909 693.
Visit bbc.co.uk/5liveterms
for our terms of use and privacy notice.
Yeah, well, there are worries that the wealthy may well leave the country. They ain't leaving football, though. And Adam, no location for privacy, but thank you very much for coming on. And Jim in Letchworth, Jim, not real name. Hello, Jim. Hello, Adam. Adam, what would you like to say this morning? Because we're talking about, I know you want to talk about your son. That's what I do know. And we're talking about the normalisation of gambling through football for young people. Welcome, Adam. What would you like to say?
Thanks, Nicky. Just a little bit of background. He's 17. He's just coming up to his 18th birthday. He's got an apprenticeship, and some of his colleagues at work, they have a little bit of a syndicate on a Saturday, and they all pick a team and do like an accumulator. And the first week he did this, Nicky, he came home with £200. Really excited about it and what have you, and it's just sort of we talked about it, but you know, nothing, it wasn't a real problem at that stage, and it sort of accumulated from there, and he gets decent money, you know, he's an apprentice, so he does earn reasonable amounts of money, and a few weeks ago, you know, he started asking me if he could borrow some money until he got paid, and he'd cancelled his phone contract that he was on the standing order into my wife's bank account, and one thing and another, and I'm just saying, mate, what's going on? You've all this money, and you're running out before you're paid. You know, you don't pay any board or anything like that. You know, we look after him in that respect, and he just broke down, and you know, he's gambling, and it's too easy, Nicky. It's too easy. He's got, and I, forgive me for naming the companies, but he's got Betfred and Skybet and Paddy Power and all these apps on his phone.
And they would say that they encourage responsible gambling. That's what they would say. But what I would say, I don't want to go too far into that, because we really are taking a gamble with my learned friends. But it's fair to say they would say that, but others would say exactly what you're saying, and that the young people are being lured into this. And is it on the phone?
His mobile phone. He shuts himself in his bedroom, and he gets under the quilt, and he's on his phone and what have you. And it's just his money's in his bank, and he can just do it from one app to the other. It's just so easy. The question that they asked him when he went onto these sites was a little button came up saying, "Are you 18?" And you press that button saying yes, and that's the check. That was the check that they did for it. You know. Fortunately, you know, in some respects, I'm in recovery myself, Nicky, so I know the mental side of this thing. And your previous caller before the news, you know, saying that it's about self-control.
Goodness, this must be awful for you.
About addiction.
This must be so painful for you. You're in recovery from gambling addiction. Is that right? Am I right in saying that?
I'm in recovery from alcohol, Nicky.
Got you. So you understand the addiction. You understand the compulsion.
Absolutely.
You understand the drive. Got you. I understand. Sorry.
I do. The mental side of it, I completely understand that. You know, so, you know, in some respects, I've been able to talk to him about that. You know, I might be too close, but I have friends who are also in recovery who can speak to him and what have you if it gets to that stage. But, you know, I'm hoping we've caught it soon enough and we've put things in place, and you know, I don't want to control his spending and what have you, but that's what we're doing for the short term anyway, you know, until he...
And Adam, do you think that the plethora of gambling advertising in football and through football is making this worse for young people?
100%. It's absolutely normalised it. You know, it's just part of the game now. And as has been alluded to and spoken about previously, all, you know, plastered across the shirts and what have you. It's just completely normal. It's part of the game now. It never was when I was growing up, and we didn't bet on football in those days. As again has been spoken about already, you know, you might have the occasional bet on a race or something like that. But I remember, Nicky, when I was 18 years old, my dad took me into a casino. We'd been to a boxing event and we went into the casino afterwards. And I had a win on blackjack. And I knew instantly then that I had to stay out of those places because it would get me, you know.
Same.
I suppose that's my understanding of addiction. You know what I mean?
I went a couple of times as a student and thought, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's nice,
Yeah, 120 quid and then ran away.
Yeah.
Jim, come in here. Jim, not real name. What do you make of it, listening to Adam there? What a great call from Adam, because I know you had a gambling problem yourself. What do you think of all this, Jim?
No, I didn't have the gambling problem myself. My son did when he was 16, and I forced him to go to gamble to some gamblers anonymous meetings, and it scared him.
Apologies for getting that wrong, but it's very similar to Adam.
Job. Yeah. He's an adult now and he's got a responsible job. Mm. I think he still has a bet, but I know that scared the living daylights out of him. But the thing was with it, I was able to spot it because I had gambling around me all my life. My dad was a bookie. My uncle opened one of the first betting shops in London when they first became legal in your manor, Nicky, at Clapham North. And He really, I saw things. I did bits of work in betting shops down the years for my dad and whatever. You know, I was often between jobs. So my dad would give me some work in a betting shop on a board and things like that. And I saw the way it consumed certain people. There was one guy in a shop in Balham that used to come in when we opened and he'd be in there all day.
Yeah.
And he would be frantic, absolutely frantic. He'd write about 10 bets out for each race, throw them away, and then put it. And don't ask me, he would win fortunes, he would lose fortunes. So I've seen this, and I've seen the way it's consumed people. But the point is, we're talking here about the advertising, and it's wrong. I think it should be banned the same as cigarettes are and whatever. But the point is with the advertising, this is how gambling can get you. I'm going back late 70s, early 80s, and a place I worked at, there was a guy there, he had a betting account with Ladbrokes. Excuse me using the name, but they had an advertising campaign at the time called Betcha, B-E-T-C-H-A. Betcha back a winner and all this. And he had a booklet that had been sent to him, because there was no internet or anything then, obviously. And he had this booklet sent to him, and I sat there one lunchtime and I thumbed through it. And it's, oh, yeah, if you have this bet and you have that bet, you'll win this, you'll win that. Well, and I, for the first time, the only time in my life, I felt like going into a betting shop and putting money over a counter. Up to then, I'd never gone into a betting shop and put money over the counter. And I felt like doing it. But the fact that I got that background, you know, that background information, what I'd picked up down the years, stopped me doing it. Okay. I will admit I have a bet on the National, like your guy who was on there earlier said, and the National wins sometimes on Cheltenham. There might be a race come up at Cheltenham where I fancy a bet. But I do not go and stand in betting shops and put fortunes over the table. I go to an occasional Greyhound meeting for a social night out and have two or three small bets. But that is about it. But the point of the matter is I've got that experience of seeing people get consumed by gambling, which stops me taking that step forward.
And yeah, well, listen,
constant,
Mickey,
that's interesting.
With his adverts.
You've both got experience in one way or another. You of being around gambling, Adam. You of addiction. You were going to come back in, Adam. We've got Mark Palios coming up, chair of Charming Rivers.
I completely understand what Jimmy's saying, and I agree with him 100%. You know, about not going into a bookies and what have you, but it's you don't need to do that these days. If that's how you had to do your betting, then perhaps it wouldn't be quite as prevalent and as much of a problem as it is. You know, as I said earlier, all you need to do now is click a little button on your phone and you've lost 100 quid. Gone.
It's a long way from when I was a kid. I remember walking past those darkened dens full of smoke all those years ago.
Those online gambling, but this online gambling has got to stop as well. I mean, you know, it's not just the advertising. Get rid of the online gambling. And if Premier League football clubs are getting a little bit less money in sponsorship, well, so be it. Tough.
Yeah.
Cut your cloth accordingly, fellas.
Cat's out the bag. Horse has bolted. The greyhound has left the traps. That ain't going to happen. Mark Palios, chair of Tranmere Rovers, listening, I am sure, with great interest to this. Hi, Mark. Good morning.
Hi. How are you? Good morning.
What should football do?
well, football can't self-regulate, and I think the report that the excellent report that came out from Bristol University, the report actually says it all, that the industry can't self-regulate. So I think one of the key, the headline in this for me is that people wouldn't try and advertise if it didn't work. It's the way in which they do it is insidious. But actually, the government doesn't need new legislation to change this. It can already change it within the powers contained in the 2005 Act. So they can come in. What should football do? Football should recognise the reality on this. I mean, your callers have actually nailed it in terms of a few things. One is it's become part of the entertainment, so it's normalised, which it was different. In my day, certainly when I played, the relationship was a lot more balanced. You had the pools, and that was about it. By the way, I people don't know this, but I actually, my degree was in psychology, and I actually worked on behaviour therapy. So I was dealing with phobias, which is the same learning, maladaptive learning that you have for gambling addiction. The thing about gambling addiction, it's a hidden addiction. And, you know, in terms of what football should do, they should understand that it is now part of the problem. It is a vehicle for the way in which they advertise.
Part of the problem. Why?
Part of the problem, absolutely. It's part of the problem because if you then look at the money that it's got that they get from it, the Premier League is different to the lower league. But this is typical of the way in which they try and manipulate the narrative. So what they say is lower league clubs, they're actually in great financial difficulty, and this is important. Now, we have a good front of shirt sponsorship. And probably we see the benchmarking figures. So we're probably around sort of League One. We're in League Two, but we have a League One sponsorship, level. That's only 5% of our playing budget. The next thing is, even if you replace that with something else, you wouldn't lose the whole of that. And the third thing is it's self-inflicted because your wages are your discretionary spend, which is what one of your callers just said, cut your cloth accordingly. So football has the capacity, certainly down the lower leagues, to deal with what's there. One of the issues that really pains me is the front of shirt voluntary ban by the Premier League. It only represents about 8%, so they're just giving that away because it makes that all difference. But they recognise that it's potentially damaging, particularly to kids. Does that mean because they're allowing sponsorship of front of shirt in lower league clubs that lower league kids, fans who are kids of lower league clubs, are not as important as kids of Premier League clubs?
I suppose there's more exposure from the Premier League clubs, but it's going onto the arms and it's going already onto the back of the shirts as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the report indicates, you know, over the course of the last year, in terms of the numbers, just on the first weekend of the Premier League, in terms of the numbers, there was 165% increase.
Mentioned that, yeah.
So if you're looking at that, how is self-regulation working? It needs an intervention. One, because football has a track record of not being able to do it themselves. And two, the government has the powers to do it. and three is causing damage.
I want to go to, well, clearly we're hearing from that, but it's also causing a lot of people to have a bit of fun on a Saturday and a Sunday and a Monday.
I've got absolutely nothing against gambling per se. It's just if you start to, you've got a perfect storm here with the internet, with some of the content marketing gambling that comes out. So it's not identified as advertising, but actually it's seductively getting kids into it because they're seeing it, seeing, you know, pieces of football and stuff like that. So,
okay,
you know,
Going to go a couple of callers, but I just want a yes, no from you, literally, because I do want to make time for Darren and, yep, and Mel as well, and Kevin, if possible, too. Will gambling be a part of football advertising and football sponsorship in 5 years' time, yes or no?
Hopefully not. Sorry, okay. It's not a word.
Yes, all right. I'll let get away with that. Kevin, yeah, hi there. What would you like to say?
Hello, Nicky. I've been betting on horses since I was 10, and I've never had any problems, and it's because I act responsibly. And if sponsorship from bookmakers is withdrawn from football and from horses, then the football teams will not be able to afford to buy such good players from abroad, and the quality will suffer. And there's a big problem in Ireland at the moment because they're considering going a very long way towards banning all betting adverts before the watershed. And the Racing TV is sponsored by a bookmaker, and they're saying that it's unsustainable for them to broadcast should the ban come ahead. And it's
thank
all,
you.
And
I hear
this
you.
Is all, be- this is all because I- some people are irresponsible. That's
well,
the
this
problem.
Is the argument that we've been hearing. And it, what is interesting, and thank you for that, what is interesting is that you said the bookies sponsoring football. The bookies, well, that's a thing of the past almost, isn't it? We're talking about massive conglomerates. Darren, what do you think?
Hi, Nick. I think we're missing sort of the point. I'm ex-social services background, and I have 5 children, 3 boys, 2 girls. And I think basically it's about one personality type and how you're raised and different nature-nurture influences. And from my opinion, young men and boys are very vulnerable and less resilient. If you think about it, girls are able to adapt their behaviour, be more resilient in life, more determined at a younger age, know where they're going. Boys take longer to develop in general. And I think gambling and drugs and alcohol are consequences of how people's lives are. And group behaviour in terms of they want to be part of the crowd, part of the lads, fit in. And then basically, usually it's covering or a mask or something else. So generally, the problem with it is that all these issues are people dealing with coping mechanisms, dealing with the wrong thing. So what you'd be doing is somebody's doing something to de-stress instead of, you know, for example, using exercise, breathing, listening to music. They're using, you know, as we see more men homeless, you see more men with issues because unfortunately some men can't deal with, you know, things going not going their way or hard times and stuff. And we aren't as resilient. And I think as fathers, we need to, you know, be guiding our young boys basically in life to when they become young men and become adults, that basically they're able to deal with things not going their way. And I think gambling and addiction, all these different problems are people getting themselves into problems that already they were having hard times already. And I think it's everything in moderation. And I think
so
things
symptoms
do need to be regulated, but yeah, you need to be starting and looking at, you know, these problems is what you're seeing on a surface level, all these addiction and alcohol problems and everything, addiction in general. People don't really look under the surface and see what's actually been building for years beforehand. And then you're seeing the consequence come to the top. So normally, as I just said, you see the grass growing, but then the reasons are in the soil hidden. And normally with these problems is these reasons have been going on for years.
Fascinating.
You know, so I'm just sort of giving you an insight that, you know, there's more to it than just a simplistic view.
Oh, for sure. And listen, let me run one last call, but the gender difference is a fascinating point to make. Thank you so much. Mel in Doncaster, you got the last word. Sorry I couldn't come back to Kieran. But Mel, what is your thought?
Hi, Nicky. So I just contacted because I was a bit outraged by the comments about individual sort of freedom.
Responsibility, yeah.
And people often, I completely agree with Darren, that people who are susceptible to getting addicted to gambling are the most vulnerable and traumatised. And that as a whole community, we need to sort of decide what we can do to nurture people. And gambling is not part of a nurturing environment. It ultimately leads to pain and suicide.
For some,
for many. For the ones who are already damaged, that is the path that it will take you on.
Thank you so much. Two really thoughtful calls at the end and some really interesting ones all the way through. It's what we like. 08085 909 693 85058. A taxing issue coming up for you. I know you'll have a view.
BBC Radio 5 Live.
Nicky Campbell.
The voice of the UK.
Should we squeeze the rich, famous Dennis Healy, Chancellor of Yore, saying, you know, I want to squeeze the rich till the pips squeak. The Treasury has said it's thinking again about a Labour manifesto plan. It was in the manifesto, people are saying, to tighten rules on non-dom tax status. Basically, government officials said they would consider changing the details of the policy, as they put it, to make it less punishing to non-doms. One of the tweaks is reducing the amount of inheritance tax they would have to pay, thought to be one of the options under consideration. So, inevitably, lessening the amount of money the Treasury would get. Or would it? The Chancellor had hoped that ending non-dom status would raise at least £2.7 billion by 2028. But is concerned that the Office for Budget Responsibility is saying the measures will lose the Treasury revenue. This is the thing. And it was a great rallying call, wasn't it, for the faithful. Whack the non-doms. And Jeremy Hunt did a little bit of tweaking on non-dom status to almost, you know, steal a bit of the clothing before the last election. That's the politics. But what about the super wealthy? How'd you get the money? How'd you get their money off them? How should we get their money off them? 08085 909 693, text 85058. It's really interesting, this non-dom stuff, that they've seen that as possibly counterproductive. What do you think? It's 1 minute past 10.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Call free 08085 909 693. Text 85058. Text will be charged at your standard message rate.
Message on WhatsApp 08085 909 693.
Visit bbc.co.uk/5liveterms
for our terms of use and privacy notice.
It's the principle of it, some people might say. Here's the news from Dina Campbell.
Thank you, Nikki. Good morning.